Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. It's the Buckmaster Show. We're off and running on a Monday, June 17th, 2013. If you like long days of sunlight, this week will have really the most amount of the longest sunlight of the year. After that, the days will start to get shorter. So enjoy the midsummer in Tucson, Arizona. Hello, everybody. The Buckmaster Show live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We are streaming the show live, so you can listen to the program at your desk or wherever at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear the programs anytime, anywhere on your schedule because we podcast at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com. Also, there are links on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, and Blog for Arizona also has us prominently displayed. On today's show, we'll get things rolling on our Monday political face-off. Our team of commentators today, Bruce Ash and Vince Rabago, and then we will have an extended interview with Tom Horn, Arizona's Attorney General. That will come up about 12:30. If you have a question or comment, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can post to our Facebook page, and we invite you to follow us on Facebook at Bill Buckmaster. Every Monday we do the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is here, Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Tucson Attorney Vince Rabago, Democrat candidate for Arizona Attorney General in 2010. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. I was over at Moe's to pick up my the oil painting that we acquired on our Central California holiday a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, Bruce and Vince, Moe did a fantastic job. Just the right frame.
Did you get one of those California plein air artists?
Yeah, something like that. Kind of one of those cliff scene.
Well, that whole Central Coast is one of the most beautiful places in the country.
Oh, I think it is, too.
Not the dogs playing pool or anything like that, right, Bill?
Playing
or
poker.
Were the Elvis, the dark, the black light paintings?
That's right.
No.
That's right. Well, Moe does a great job over there.
Yeah, he really does.
Into his shop.
Vince, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
And Bruce, Vince, did you do anything exciting this weekend?
The most exciting thing was spending time with my wonderful children and wife celebrating Father's Day.
Yes.
So that was a great day. So happy belated Father's Day now today to all the fathers out there.
Did they take you out to dinner?
Yes, they took me out to breakfast and dinner. So I'll tell you, I had to fight for myself during lunchtime.
My goodness.
Though.
And Bruce, happy Father's Day to you as well. Yes.
Thank you. We had a wonderful day yesterday celebrating my father-in-law's 94th birthday, along with Father's Day, and it was fun having three generations all there together at the same table.
Mm, very nice. Big news today: the Supreme Court, by a 7-2 margin, made a ruling concerning Arizona. Handily. Kind of handing it to Arizona, really, to Tom Horn, who will be our guest coming up at 12:30. So that's very serendipitous. The ruling basically, Arizona cannot add to federal voting registration requirements by demanding proof of citizenship. Vince, what do you think?
Yeah, that's right. That's what the court ruled, and it's on the legal side, it's much more complicated than that because it goes into these legal doctrines called preemption and at what point they can act. So the court said that essentially what Arizona could not do was impose its own requirement that was different than what had been provided by the federal form and the federal requirement for proof of citizenship. So it didn't strike down everything, I believe, in law. The Prop 200, I believe it was it 94 when they passed? I forget when it was.
But it was 2004.
But it did strike down this, and it's I expect there will be likely additional challenges depending on what the legislature does or does not do. There's talk already. I was reading in the Republic about potentially the Republicans trying to set up a dual election system, their own federal election system, in theory, which would then sort of take away whatever the feds have provided. And, so I don't know what's going to happen, but this is definitely a big blow for what had happened with this particular initiative and the requirement that Tom Horn was pushing as well as others.
What do you think, Bruce?
I agree with Vince. This was a decision that had some rather narrow quantified areas that were under discussion. I'm interested in reading Justice Scalia's opinion. He voted against the Arizona law. And once I've had a chance to look at that, I think I can probably talk a little more intelligently. I felt for a long time, and I said this to former State Party Chairman Randy Pullen, probably as early as 2005 or 6, that I thought eventually this law would be struck down at the Supreme Court level. And it's been up and down and all around in various courts since then. The states really, we've lost the rights to some degree in order to make sure that everybody who's voting is eligible to do so, because you know that people can show up at the polls and basically say, "Hi, I'm Bruce Ash, I'm here to vote," and that's the end of it. You know, very little in the way at all of identification required. So, you know, the actual act of getting voters registered becomes, I think, all the more important.
The only thing I'd add to that is that in this particular case, the plaintiffs that were suing, challenging the law, presented evidence that approximately 80,000 citizens, not undocumented folk, not people that were not supposed to be voting, but citizens, were denied the right and the ability to even vote because they were denied because of this registration proof of ID requirement. And so there are some issues. You know, you definitely want integrity in the system. I agree. That's certainly an important aspect. But at the end of the day, when you're denying 80,000 citizens the right to vote because of just sort of rhetoric, when there's no real substance to the arguments that are being pushed, that's a problem.
Well, the problem though, Vince and Bill, I think, has to do with how the federal motor voter law was set up.
And that was 1993, the federal motor voter law.
Yeah, and
which was designed to simplify voter registration procedures.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, this harkens back to Democrat Jim Crow days, you know, in the South, you know, in from the mid-50s and earlier, wanting to correct those sorts of problems. But unfortunately, as we often see, as the law will move, you know, the pendulum to one side or the other, it probably went a little too far in terms of determining, you know, who's eligible to vote and how people get registered. And Arizona may not have complied. And like I said, I want to see particularly Justice Scalia's opinion, you know, may not have handled what they needed to in the fine points of the motor voter law.
And Judge Scalia, Vince, did say that Arizona could try a different approach to challenge the federal law's preemption. Now, I have no idea what that might entail.
Maybe. Sure. The idea is that they would either have to submit something to either the Federal Election Commission or some other federal body saying, look, we want this to be part of it, and then maybe try to in other words, it left open the door for potentially pursuing other routes to try to challenge the law or bring up their own requirements, because states do have the ability to enact their own rules. And that really at the heart of it was the issue of the conflict here. When the feds have said this is enough, then the issue is that's enough and you can't override that. So there are other aspects, and I think so when Bruce gets a chance to read the decision, he'll find out that the states do have the ability to create their own rules, their own regulations, but you can't go too far. And so as what happened here, when the feds have said this is enough on their federal registration form, that form's good. People got to be able to register to vote with that.
And we'll ask Tom Horn, who actually went before the Supreme Court in March and presented oral arguments in this case, we'll ask him if he is going to pursue some other form of avenue of
sure,
approach. To
sure, this. And I'm sure he'll probably say yes. The bigger issue here and what happens, and I'm sure Bruce would disagree with me, but the studies show that the people who are less likely to have ID, even though they're eligible, even though they're citizens, are Democratic voters. They are minority voters, youth, and older Americans, frankly, as well as tribal members that are affected. And so when you look at the big political picture here, when you're imposing these sorts of requirements that are contrary to what the federal law provides, really, if you look at the sort of blunt force political trauma that's being inflicted on sort of the Democratic vote, that's really what these laws are all about. So we, you know, Tom Horn can talk all day long, and whoever else wants to say, oh, this is our, we have a right, we have this, but really the blunt political action here was an effort to try to suppress and knock out Democratic voters. There was proof of 80,000 at least that were able to be shown in this case.
There are tens of thousands of voters of all sorts that have been turned away at the polls in most every election because they haven't submitted proof of identification or they've, you know, tried to vote a soiled ballot, whatever it happens to be. There's been no voter suppression that's gone on in this state in like forever, Vince.
And that's an absolute falsehood. In fact, on Friday, I personally submitted a complaint to the U.S. Department of Justice along with affidavits providing different practices leading to voter suppression, whether they be political practices by outside groups sending in misleading information to Hispanic, Spanish-speaking voters, to actual practices that were election-based practices, such as issuing wrong documentation up in Phoenix. They were giving out – the official government documents were giving out the wrong date in Spanish on the election day and the correct date in English. So that's a falsehood, Bruce. There is evidence of voter suppression, and I'm hoping that the U.S. Department of Justice actually takes a hard look at the five affidavits along with documentation that I provided to the U.S. Department of Justice on Friday.
It happens on both sides. You just get a little more incensed about it, Vince.
All right. We're going to take a pause right here. We're going to talk about immigration reform. Vince's law firm here in Tucson has been very much involved in reforming immigration in this country, and I know Bruce has some very strong issues. Bruce Ash has some very strong ideas and thoughts about what's going on with immigration reform. That's going to be our topic as we continue on the Monday Political Face-Off, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you'd like to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's sponsors our Monday Political Face-Off. We thank them very much for doing that. If you haven't been by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, they have a beautiful location at Fort Lowell and Dodge and also on the web at moesgallery.com. And they also have a Facebook presence, so you can like Moe's, which we certainly do. Vince Rabago is here. Vince and Bruce Ash today are Monday Political Face-Off commentators. You are getting very personally involved in this immigration reform, Vince. You were back in D.C. a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, I had to miss being on the show here,
that's
in fact.
Right.
Had the opportunity and was invited to go back to Washington, D.C. on behalf of the Arizona-Sonora Border Coalition, which is part of a bigger network of community organizations and coalitions along the border states on the south, and that includes Arizona, New Mexico, California, and Texas. And so we went back there, and of course the bill had already been approved by the Gang of Eight, so to speak, and the committee, I think it was the Judiciary Committee, and had been already gone through that process. So we were essentially in advance of the floor debates, going out there to talk to them, to talk to people from both sides of the aisle. In fact, people ranging from you look at Senator Feinstein to Senator McCain to people on the House of Representatives side to Senator Rand Paul. You name it. It was a bipartisan.
You think this time something is going to get really done?
Yes, I do. Our effort was nonpartisan. It was a bipartisan effort trying to speak up for border communities. It wasn't a political effort. So I know this is a political show, but this was a bipartisan community coalition effort. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure your audience understands what I was doing and what we were doing back there.
Okay. Bruce Ash, Lindsey Graham went on, I think it was Meet the Press, talking about unless the Republicans get on board with this, they can forget about the 2016 elections and elections for, I guess, forever.
Bill, it's bad enough that the IRS and the Department of Justice and EPA and several other governmental agencies have become political tools. Worse yet, that the Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Patrol, ICE would also become part of this politicalization of the operations of the United States of America. It is absolutely the wrong thing for both parties to view immigration reform in political terms of what will happen in the next election or two elections or whatever down the road. And there is absolutely no evidence that I have seen so far that this 1,075-page bill that's being proposed, and it grows literally like Topsy every single day, it seems.
It weighs 20 pounds.
There's no evidence that would suggest that the federal law enforcement officials will do any better of a job enforcing it as they do the laws today. And the proponents of comprehensive immigration reform routinely say, Bill and Vince, that what we have now is like having de facto amnesty, so we have to change it. Well, no, that's not the case at all. What we forget is that we do have a very comprehensive immigration code, and it's not being enforced. It's not being followed. And there are lots and lots of things that could be improved in the way that our immigration system is set up to make it focus on legal immigration, that's good for this country economically, legal immigration that's good for this country as broad national policy. This one doesn't fit the bill.
Vince Trabaco, how do you react to what Bruce just said?
Well, let me just say first and foremost that the bill could use some fixes. I've said that publicly.
It will, right?
And it will be.
There'll be the Senate version, there's the House version, and then there'll be a conference that will get together and come up with a final bill.
Now the bigger issue, really, I mean, there's no question that a system which results in 11 million undocumented people being in the United States, if those people could immigrate lawfully through a process that worked, that met these complex issues, which are labor demand issues, which are bigger than just the issues of securing the border. These are complex issues. We're talking about labor dynamics. We're talking about employers. And we are also talking about fixing the system so it works for families and we maintain our security. But at the end of the day, when you have that process not working, when you have a broken process that results in people waiting decades to immigrate, the reality is we need to fix the system.
And that
now,
won't
the
change.
Other part
that
of it,
won't change because Congress won't fund USCIS to where they need to be.
So the reality is if you fix that system, you will need less of the enforcement side of the resources that are being spent. To the extent that there's been any problem with this bill, and when we went back, we weren't talking about politics or politicalization as Mr. Ash has talked about. We were talking about real issues, and the real issues are that you have
then
a system,
Vince,
that is not working.
Why is citizenship and voting the most important part of this?
We're talking about immigration right now.
Citizenship and voting. Yeah. Why can't the 11 million workers that are here today, why can't they be regularized so that they may be entitled to work?
That's the whole point of trying to get comprehensive immigration reform.
Then why is it that citizenship and voting rights are at the heart of the debate?
Immigration is about citizenship.
Immigration is not necessarily just about citizenship.
Well, but that's
voting,
the biggest aspect.
But that's
of
what
it.
You're making it into.
The biggest aspect. You think
we're stupid when we say this? Democrats, I think, are conniving when they say it, because you guys seek to form a permanent voting majority here in this country.
The reality is, is that's false. And number two, if you listen to people in your own party,
then why not have your own show and vote? Let him finish.
Get your own show, Bruce, if you just want to talk over everybody, not let the other side talk.
Go ahead.
The reality is that the bulk of these people came here to make a better life, the bulk of them. Part of that is being contributing members of this society becoming American citizens. That's why the topic is about citizenship.
Why can't they
now,
do it
you're making
voting?
It about something else. You're making it about politics again. Here you are speaking out of both sides of your mouth. On one hand, you're saying, oh, don't make this about politics.
Anybody
it's horrible.
Who's listening
and
to
the other half
knows
of,
the difference.
The other half of what you're saying is that, oh, this is all about Democrats trying to be conniving to get voters, which is a bunch of malarkey. There's groups all over this country that have been pushing for this, and if not for Congress being stuck in the politics of ideology and refusing to move, and if not for the political losses last season, we wouldn't see action. It's sad. It's a sad comment on our legislative system that it took that sort of electoral defeat for Republicans to say, oh, let's change this.
We're going to have to wrap it up. Okay.
That's the sad part of this.
Bruce Ash, Vince Cerbago, thank you both very much. And I hope both of you have a great week. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Family-owned and run since 1985. Give Moe's a chance to take care of your custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging surfaces, and hanging systems. We have Attorney General Tom Horn coming up next. Lots to talk about with Mr. Horn. If you'd like to ask him a question or a comment, 790-2040. We'll be right back. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The summit of leading industrialized nations has already produced word that an effort to reach a trade deal between the U.S. and the European Union will get underway next month in Washington. The State Department says it sees nothing new in North Korea's latest offer of high-level talks with the U.S., talks focusing on the North's nuclear program. The sheriff of Colorado's El Paso County says investigators are zeroing in on where the most destructive wildfire in the state's history got its start. Officials say the Black Forest fire near Colorado Springs is 75% contained after destroying almost 500 homes, leaving two people dead. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 86 points, the Nasdaq ahead 21. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house?
Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Thank you very much for joining us. Big news today, the Supreme Court ruling that Arizona cannot add to federal voter registration requirements by demanding proof of citizenship. It was a 7-2 decision written by Justice Scalia. The court said Arizona's proof of citizenship requirement passed by the voters in the year 2004 went too far beyond the 1993 federal motor voter law that was designed to simplify voter registration procedures. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line from the state capitol, the Attorney General for Arizona, Tom Horn. Mr. Horn, how are you?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. Very serendipitous to have you on the program today. You went back and argued oral arguments before the Supreme Court. I think it was in March, wasn't it, in this case?
Yes.
So what is your reaction, Mr. Horn?
Well, at page 15 of the decision, Bill, the court showed us a clear path to victory in this case.
Really?
What they ruled was, you were correct that they said that under the statute passed by Congress, we had to accept a federal form that did not request evidence of citizenship, and therefore we could not request evidence of citizenship. But then the court went on to say that under the United States Constitution, Congress is not permitted to prevent a state from obtaining information necessary to enforce its requirement for voter qualification. Voter qualification is something the Constitution places in the states and not the federal government. And so we can obtain the relief that we want, which is that we can ask for evidence of citizenship under the Constitution. But they said we had to first go to a federal commission, the EAC, the Elections Assistance Commission, and ask permission from them first. And if they deny permission, then we can go back to court. But what they were laying out was a path for us ultimately to be successful in this case.
So is this what I'm reading now in all the news reports, that Justice Scalia said Arizona could try a different approach to challenge the federal law's preemption? Is that what you're articulating?
Yeah, but I think it's a lot stronger than that. I think he really showed us how we should be able to win this case.
And what would your next strategy be then? What will you do? What recourse?
We would go to the Elections Assistance Commission, request that from them that evidence of citizenship be added as an additional state-specific requirement for the state of Arizona. And if they denied that, then we would go to court to get that relief.
So you feel pretty good, actually, about this, huh?
I do, yes.
And when will you be taking that action?
As soon as possible.
All right. So Tom Horn with us on the Buckmaster Show saying he sees a clear path to victory. I want to move on. We've got a lot of ground to cover with Tom Horn. If you would like to join us, any of the Buckmaster Show listeners, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Tom Horn, he would be happy to take your questions. You had a news conference, I think it was last week, Friday, about millions of dollars being released to assist Arizonans hit by the mortgage crisis.
Yes.
What is this about?
Well, Arizona sued a large bank, and we entered in settlements with a number of other large banks, and then participated in a national settlement with the five largest banks in the country. And we argued hard for a large settlement for Arizona because we were hit especially hard by the mortgage crisis. And we ended up getting four times as much as we would have gotten under, you know, just based on our relative size. We actually got for Arizona residents $1.6 billion, billion with a B, to give relief to people, to help keep people in their homes by reducing principal, reducing interest rates, and so on. In addition to that, we were entitled to $107 million to be administered by the Attorney General's office. The legislature took away $50 million of that, and that left $57 million, and they just authorized us to actually spend that $57 million last April. And so we were announcing our plans as to how we will be using the $57 million. $41 million will be direct assistance to homeowners and compensation to people who've been mistreated by the banks, and we've already contracted with an outside agency to help us administer that. Then we have $2 million for counselors, because that's an important part. There are a lot of sources of help for people who are in danger of losing their houses, and it's a kind of a maze to navigate, and so you need counselors to be able to help people determine what money is available to help them. Another $2 million for legal aid, so that lawyers could sue on behalf of people who've been wrongfully treated by the banks, and so on. So that illustrates the balance of the money. But 41 out of the $57 million is going to be direct assistance to homeowners or compensation.
And when will that be available?
The $41 million will be available in August. The counselors and legal aid has already been taken care of, and that's available immediately.
Tom Horn is with us, the Arizona Attorney General. I want to get back to, we had a very heated discussion at the beginning of the program on our Monday political face-off about the overhaul in Congress of this immigration reform. How do you see it right now, the Senate version, the House version, or generally, what are some of your thoughts about what's going on with immigration reform?
Well, you know, the important thing to me is to enforce the law. I'm the Attorney General. I don't have a vote as to changes in the law. But one of the things I did do was I wrote a letter to Senators McCain and Flake, a public letter, saying that the determination of whether the border is secure, which is supposed to be a trigger for other things under the law as proposed, should be determined by a task force which includes local and state representation as well as federal. And should not be made unilaterally by one person, in this case, Janet Napolitano, who, when she was governor of Arizona, used to say, if you build a 20-foot fence, they can always have 22-foot ladders, which prompted me to copy the joke of another politician who would say, it's easier to catch them crossing the desert if they're carrying 22-foot ladders.
Do you think it is possible, Tom Horn, to actually secure the border?
I think it's possible to acquire what's called operational control over the border. And to support that, I talk about the difference between two sectors of the Arizona border. The western sector is called the Yuma sector. The eastern sector is called the Tucson sector. In the Yuma sector, President Bush in 2006 decided to make an example of it. So he put extra personnel. He put in a fence. There's a great fence. If you're ever in Yuma, you drive endlessly to the east. There's a big 7-foot steel fence there. You put in electronics to catch people crossing, infrastructure such as roads so you'd get there and arrest them when they cross illegally. And that reduced illegal immigration by 96%, from several hundred thousand a year to about 7,500 last year. But in the eastern sector, in the Tucson sector, that hasn't been done. So you still have hundreds of thousands of people crossing in the Tucson sector. So I think if there's the will to do it across the border at all locations, similar to what was done in Yuma, I think we could have operational control over the border.
What do you advise to people who would like to visit Mexico after this highly publicized incident with a woman from Scottsdale, a mother of, seven, who was detained in Mexico on a bogus drug charge? What about the Mexican justice system from your point of view? And do you have a warning to people, Arizonans who cross into Mexico?
Well, I put a press release out that said, you know, have fun, but be prepared. And if they go on our website, which is azag.gov, we have put in there some pamphlets that they can read about what they can do to protect themselves. Mexico is a great place to visit. You know, I love Rocky Point. But you want to be prepared, and you want to have a list of things to do, and your listeners can find that on our website.
What about their justice system?
Well, their justice system is improving a lot. They used to have a system that did not include oral trials. The prosecutor wrote a report, and the judge made a decision based on a written report, and there was no trial. And that, you know, that was really bad if you were innocent of the charge, but the prosecutor thought you were guilty, and it was also bad in that drug lords had the more opportunity to either bribe or intimidate judges because everything was done behind the scenes and it wasn't open. Mexico's made the decision to move from that written system to oral trials, and we're helping them a lot. We're training because their prosecutors aren't used to having oral trials, so we're training them. They're coming up here, and we're teaching them how to do opening statements, direct examination, cross-examination, closing statements, and so on. And I have a plaque on my wall, which is an award that I got from the Attorney General of Sonora, thanking me for the work we do in helping them train their prosecutors.
Lots more to talk with Tom Horn about. We're going to take our break right here. Mr. Horn, just stay where you are, and we will now listen to the fine lineup of people who support the Buckmaster Show. We ask that you support them. We'll be right back with Tom Horn.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. And here's the good part, 15 degrees cooler. They're preparing for their big clay festival. If you love pottery, this is going to be one of the nation's top events dealing with the pottery and the arts, July 27th to August 4th in Silver City. Lots of great places to stay, including Little Toad Creek Inn and Spirit Canyon Lodge. You can find out more about Silver City at southwestnewmexico.org. Tom Horn is with us, the Arizona Attorney General on the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Horn, have you officially announced you will be seeking re-election for Arizona Attorney General?
Yes, and not only that, but under the prior law, you need 5,600 signatures on your petitions, and I already have over 4,000 signatures, and I've raised over $100,000, so I'm well on my way.
Felicia Rotolini, who you ran against, the Democrat, in the last race 4 years ago for Arizona Attorney General, is running also very hard. And she is saying that you're not trustworthy, basically, because of some of your legal issues. What do you say to Ms. Rotolini?
Well, you know, I've been judged by the toughest judgment that there can be, which is my fellow lawyers. There's a publication called Martindale Hubbell, which is used by lawyers and clients to rate lawyers, and I've been judged every single one of my over 30 years of law practice is very ethical by the other lawyers. So I think that I'm not only trustworthy, but I'm also effective. I've switched a lot of resources, and we've had a lot of successes in dismantling drug cartels that had been smuggling drugs into Arizona. I've instituted a lot more consumer protection than my predecessors had, including sting operations most recently, where a repair shop pretended there were repairs needed when they really weren't. We had cameras showing what they were doing, and they got fined $600,000, and they're out of business. I brought in, as I mentioned to you, $1.6 billion to help people with mortgage problems. I'm co-chair of a task force to do something about trafficking in underage girls, which is a terrible problem it's not really known how serious the problem is. And so we're not only seeking legislation to increase penalties for pimps who pimp underage girls, but also we're doing a lot of outreach to inform people about how serious this problem is. So I've achieved a lot as Attorney General in my first 2.5 years. And so I think that shows I'm both trustworthy and effective.
I know, of course, anyone who has followed the news knew of you against your stand against TUSD and the ethnic studies program there when you were the Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. That carried over not liking the program as the Arizona Attorney General. Tell me, have you followed what's going on with TUSD? It looks like they'll be naming a new superintendent, the only finalist, actually. They only selected one finalist, and it looks like tomorrow, Tom Horn, they will pick a new superintendent. Have you been following that at all?
Well, the ethnic studies issue is one that I followed very closely because I was the one who first spotted it when they had Dolores Huerta speak at Tucson High School, and she said Republicans hate Latinos. And a lot of people said, I was at that time superintendent of schools, and a lot of people said, you need to stop the schools from having these controversial speakers. And I said, no, I think controversial speakers are good. It causes kids to think, but they need to hear both sides. And I brought Margaret Garcia Dugan down, who was my chief of staff, and who still is my chief of staff as Attorney General, actually, who is a proud Latina and a proud Republican, and told them that and that she didn't hate herself. And a bunch of kids in the ethnic studies program stood up and turned their backs to her and put their fists in the air. And when the principal asked them to sit down and listen, they walked out on their own principal. And that caused me to investigate further what was going on, because I believe these kids were taught at home to be polite. I think it was these ethnic studies teachers who taught them to deal with disagreement by getting in people's faces, which I think will be very dysfunctional for them as adults. In order to resolve disagreements successfully, you have to be able to deal with people in a civil way. And I think that also the idea of dividing kids by race is abhorrent, which is what their program did. They had separate courses for kids depending on what race they were. And I believe it's a fundamental American value that we're all individuals, that what matters about us is what we know and what is our character and not what race we happen to have been born into. And that one of the functions of the public schools is to bring students together from different backgrounds and teach them to treat each other as individuals and not on the basis of what race they were born into. And so I got legislation to put a stop to it. We won a case in front of the an administrative hearing judge. The program was shut down. Then I was sued in federal district court saying that the statute I'd gotten passed was unconstitutional. I argued that personally in Tucson District Court. We won that case. Now we've got a federal judge in the DSEG case wanting to have what they call culturally sensitive courses, and I've appealed that decision. So it's an ongoing fight to fight for TUSD schools teaching what the schools in the rest of our state teach, which is that people are individuals and are entitled to be treated as individuals and not on the basis of what race they were born into, and teach kids to be proud American citizens.
You have on your website, I believe, a video, don't you, referring to this ethnic, as I was looking at your website this morning. Describe for my listeners what they would see if they go to your website about the ethnic studies.
Yeah, I encourage them to do that. It's azag.gov, and ethnic studies is one of the things they can click on the homepage. There are two videos, actually. One of them is called The Killing of Tom Horn, and it's an illustration of what these kids are taught by their teachers. They did a street play in which one of the kids wearing a mask that's my picture is killed, which is an example of not teaching people how to resolve disagreements in a civil way. The other video is where I was just about to do an interview with, ironically, Univision, and I do those interviews in Spanish, and there were a bunch of supporters of ethnic studies there who spotted me, and they started screaming so that I couldn't do the interview, and actually followed me to my car. And so your listeners can view that video showing, I think, uncivil behavior by this pro-ethnic studies mob that surrounded me and screamed at me and followed me to my car.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Robert has a comment or question for the Arizona Attorney General. Go ahead, Robert. You're with Tom Horn.
Hey, Mr. Horn. You know, when I was growing up in Georgia, in our American history class, they flat out taught us that white Europeans in great numbers with bigger guns came and took Mexico away from the Mexicans, mainly because they couldn't get along themselves. But so why do we need a separate La Raza course to project that simple idea?
Well, obviously we don't, and we shouldn't have one. For those of the listeners who don't know, La Raza is the Spanish for the race, and I think it's abhorrent that there would be a course called the race for people of a particular ethnicity. We do require in the standards, and I did this as superintendent of schools, that students learn about the contributions of all different groups, and they should learn that, but they should learn that together, and they should learn the contributions of all groups. They shouldn't be separated by race and then taught only the contribution of their own group, because school is a place to widen our horizons, not narrow them.
Tom Horn with us. Going to be wrapping it up here with Mr. Horn very shortly, but one of our Facebook friends, our growing number of Facebook friends, wanted me to ask you, Mr. Horn, if you are a classically trained pianist.
Yes. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be a professional pianist, but I wasn't talented enough, so I became a lawyer and a politician instead, but I still play a lot. I have a chamber music group that meets at my house on Sundays. I've performed a lot around Arizona. I performed with the Yuma Symphony. I performed with the Scottsdale Symphony as a piano soloist. I've performed at the Scottsdale Center for the Arts and at the Herberger in Phoenix, and I performed in Tucson as well. And I will continue doing that. If people are willing to listen to me, I love playing for them.
And the type of music that you like, as far as classical music, what do you find challenging and entertaining at the same time?
Well, when I perform, I like to perform Gershwin. I think Rhapsody in Blue is a very popular piece for people, and I play also Concerto in F for them. And I actually performed as a piano soloist in both of those pieces, for example, with the Yuma Symphony. I like to perform Rachmaninoff and Bach and a lot of different composers, but classical music is my thing. If you want rock and roll, that's somebody else.
All right. Tom Horn, who said to us at the beginning of the interview, if you're just joining us, he does see a clear path to victory despite the 7-2 decision over Arizona voter registration rules. In other words, Tom Horn, this issue is far from over. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
It's not only far from over, but I think the court clearly on page 15 of the decision showed a clear path for us to win it. We just have to go back to a federal agency called the EACS for relief there, and if we don't get it, we can go back to court, and I think the decision indicates that after we go through those steps, we should win the case.
Mr. Horn, thank you for spending some time with us. I hope you have a great day and a great week.
Thank you, Bill. It's always good to be with you.
Thank you. Tom Horn, the Arizona Attorney General, with us on the Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Our thanks to Culligan. Bottled water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests enjoy the bottle of Culligan water that is provided to them when they come to the Buckmaster Show. We thank Culligan very much. Coming up this afternoon from 3 to 5, it's the John C. Scott Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe from 6 to 8 right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon. We'll be back with you right here at 12:04 tomorrow.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.